Now, one of the reasons why I became interested in altitude was I went to Nepal last year with a friend of mine, and we walked, well, we were meant to walk from about 1,000 metres up to 5,000, and we got to 3,500, and she got very sick.
Yep.
And we had to go back down.
Cerebral edema.
Yeah, so one of the things that I was interested in is why she was affected and why I wasn't.
Mm-hmm. There's multiple mechanisms. One's cerebral edema, head level, so you're getting swelling and pressure in your head. Mm-hmm. The other is at the lung level too. Did she have a cough as well?
Yeah.
Yep. So you just, it's to do with how your body is responding to the altitude.
Okay.
And there's high variability. At 3,000 metres, it's like less than 1% of people have problems with altitude illness, the headache, the cough, you know,
nausea,
the general malaise, the nausea, the difficulty sleeping, all those sort of things. And it's one of the reasons I think athletes also don't go very high is so that, you know, their quality of living is, you know, completely normal effectively. Once you get up to like 5,000 metres, I think it's at least about 20% of people. So one in five.
Okay.
So if there were five of you, two of you, you know, one of you would have
would
got
definitely
it.
Be down.
Yeah. Well, you know, probability.
Probably.
I mean,
I know what you mean.
Took 100 people up there, you know, it's more likely.
Larger sample size, and then we get a better idea of what's happening.
So, you know, your friend was quite sensitive to that degree of hypoxia.
And would she necessarily be sensitive every time? So is it something that is always going to occur for that person? You've got some kind of genetic disposition to it.
Yeah, she would, but she can also acclimatise as well. So, you know, the classic way, and Hillary did it, and, you know, going up the mountain, coming back down, coming up and back
down,
and back down, up and
Okay.
And so that individual responsiveness is a very, very important part of what we try and do with the athletes too.
Okay. You know, there's no test, or you can't measure lactic acid or something before you expose an athlete to altitude.
A lot of people have tried, as I indicated right back as well in the discussion, that one of the very first responses is your breathing response to hypoxia. And there's a test called hypoxic ventilator response that does exactly that.
So you just breathe a lot, right?
Yeah, you just introduce successive levels of hypoxia, more nitrogen, and you see how much a person breathes at rest.
Okay.
And that's, you know, for mountain climbers, is pretty good predictor of how well people cope, but it's not perfect. In my area, a lot of people have tried to find the one marker which says this athlete's going to be a responder and this athlete's not going to be a responder. And the question is, responder to what? Is it red blood cells? Is it muscle buffering? Is it economy? Or is it performance? And, you know, so it's quite complicated.
I was going to say, it sounds very, very complicated to try.
So to disentangle it back again is difficult. I think looking for a single factor is going to be just too simple. It's, you know, there's multiple, hundreds of genes that are turned on. So why would one be the determinant of whether or not you're going to respond?
Is it that well understood? I mean, it sounds like there's still a few gaps.
There's a lot of gaps, like any area of research. Like, the research into athletes and altitude started in the late 50s because the 64 Olympic Games in Mexico City.
Yep. So that's quite a high city.
2,300.
Okay. Well, that's higher than Canberra.
It's right in that middle kind of range. And, you know, that's when scientists got pretty excited about altitude and I guess have persisted ever since. You know, it's when Bob Beamon broke the long jump record, which stood for, 50 years or something ridiculous. You know, world records were running 100 and 200 metres, you know, 300, 400 metres, you know, because the air is thinner. You can travel faster in thinner air. The javelin was thrown further, all those sort of things. And, you know, the marathon time was, you know, 10% slower or 20% slower, just something ridiculous because of the altitude.
Wow.
So there's all the effects, whether it's a short explosive event, you can go faster, thin air, versus long distance events, you can't use as much oxygen, so you have to go slower.
Did they see big differences from athletes that were from countries that might train higher, say maybe from Colombia or Bogota, where we've got a very high city about, I guess,
2,600, the Paz is 3,600, and Bogota is 2,600.
So would there be a distinct difference between athletes that came from Colombia and athletes that came from Australia?
Yeah, I mean, the Kenyans are the classic.
Okay.
The Kenyans are from the Rift Valley. Eldoret, I-10 is one of the well-known towns that they come from. And it's at 2,300, 2,200, 2,700, you know, that middle 2,000s. You know, in the last, like, six or seven Olympics, the Kenyans have won something like 75% of all the medals. That's first, second, and third.
And so they're from that competition there.
Yeah, so they're from altitude. The Kenyans and the Ethiopians, you know. So they're born at altitude. But people look at it and say, you know, what is so good about the Kenyans? There's an East African running scientific community that tries to work it out. And there's multi factors that make them good. It's not just that they're at altitude.
If I was going to go back to Nepal,
mm-hmm.
would I be able to spend time in this house? Hypothetically, if I spent time in this house before trekking again, would that help me overcome my...
Undoubtedly. You know, it's how mountain climbers prepare climbing other mountains, you know, in the real world, you know, and for pre-acclimatization, there are facilities around the world where mountain climbers will go and spend series of, you know, could be as short as 3 hours a day, you know, or even overnight. Yeah, it would definitely help you. Your body will respond in a week or two, be much more able to handle the sort of altitudes that you go to.
So I really should have done a bit more research before I went on my trip and we had to turn around.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, to get quite severe, you know, altitude sickness, say 3,500 meters is relatively rare. And so, you know, it was just a luck of the draw.
Luck of the draw with that one.